I've been thinking a lot about being merciful. What does it mean to treat one another with mercy? Last week we celebrated God's ultimate mercy for us in the resurrection. And so this week I wanted to take a look at a parable that explained how God would have us treat one another with mercy. And it comes out of Matthew 18. I think it's printed in your bulletin, the text. I'll read it here in a second. But first, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in Matthew, some of the stuff that's in Matthew 18. You have a theme of bringing brothers and sisters in Christ back. That is what's going on. You have the parable of the lost sheep, where the shepherd constantly seeks out the one lost. Then you have how to settle Christian disputes. Even though it talks about casting out, the idea is to forgive and to bring back. So that brings me to the parable of the unmerciful servant. And I'm going to read that before I begin the message. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you have not had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. My dad, he's always been a very generous man. He came from a poor family, came from humble beginnings. He always, growing up, one of his favorite phrases to teach me over and over again was, "You can't have your cake and eat it too." And you know the phrase, if you've heard it, what it means is you can't have money unless you save it. He started his own business with just $10,000 that he saved up. And he did very well financially. And because of that, a spirit of generosity came into his heart. He was able to help many of his friends and people who were in financial distress. So he loaned money to many people that he knew. Now, he did this just asking them to pay him back as they could. Many did not. And if you've ever been in this situation on one side or the other, you know this leads to some really tough feelings sometimes. My dad told me that he was pretty sure at least some of these people would have tried to pay him back, at least something that they owed. Now, he admits that all of his financial blessings came from God, and that without God, he wouldn't have made a nickel, and there were times that he should have lost everything. So he saw his financial success as a blessing from God. But when he would make these loans, or when he'd get angry, he said, "I just gave it away." He said, "Sometimes I guess I wanted my money back a little more than I thought." He told me that he also wished he hadn't felt that way and that he was able to let these grudges go and just forget about it. He said, I didn't suffer because of this loaned money. I'm not hurting. I'm not going without. But I wanted my money back. I thought they should make an effort to pay me back, but I wish I didn't feel that way. And I think a lot of times we wish we could have that same attitude toward our brothers and sisters, that we don't want to hold a grudge, but we just can't let it go. Which brings us to the text. And I kind of want to get into what was Jesus trying to communicate to Peter. Let's take a look at that. It was actually an answer to a question that was put to him. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus answered him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Then Jesus used the parable to explain his answer to Peter. Now Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven being compared to a king who wanted to settle up with the people that owed him. And so, as the text told us, one of his servants was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, to put this amount of money in perspective, it's really a funny thing, because that is more than the whole Roman Empire had. It is a ridiculous amount of money that no one man could ever owe, let alone repay. Which is really funny when you hear these things in parables, because they often deal in ridiculous things. Now, the amount of money was more than anyone could pay back. So he told the servant he would have to sell him and his wife and children if he couldn't repay this debt. The servant begged, "Be patient with me and give me more time to pay." Now, like I just said, to make this fathomable in today's terms, that would be like Bill Gates waiting for me to pay him back the $7 billion I owed him. It ain't gonna happen. Doesn't matter how much time I have. It is a debt, an amount that cannot be repaid. So what's he do? The king has mercy on the servant and forgives the debt that can't be repaid. Now, this servant who has just been forgiven this debt, just got the deal of a lifetime, now runs into a situation where he's owed. And he's owed 100 denarii. Now let's put that in perspective. That would amount to, let's say, a few bucks you might loan somebody before payday. It really isn't that much. He wasn't being asked to forgive a whole heck of a lot of a debt. And this guy was so grateful for the king forgiving him. He was had so much gratitude for the mercy he had just received. Do you know how he responded? He chokes the man, demanding he repay him. The guy can't. And much like he pleaded with the king, he pleads, "Be patient with me. Give me time to repay." But this guy refuses even a portion of the mercy that he had been shown. So he has the man thrown into prison until he can repay that debt. Wow, how could this guy be so unforgiving after all the mercy he had received from the king? Well, many who had seen all this take place went back to the king that had shown such great mercy and told him. And as the text told us, he takes the man and says to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" The king in his anger had him hauled off to jail at such a time as he could repay the debt. Now, this is crazy, right? Because the first debt can't be repaid. It's an amount that could never be repaid. So guess what? The man's never getting out of jail. He is there to stay. Jesus explained to Peter that his father would do likewise to anyone who did not show forgiveness to their brother as he had shown to them. So how can we understand what Jesus is trying to tell Peter? Well, first, of course, I keep emphasizing the amount of debt involved. The great debt was forgiven. The small debt was not. We, like the servant, owe God a debt that is so large we can't repay. Our sin has put us into a place that we can only be held in prison forever because of a debt we can't repay. But that's what the cross was for. Jesus made the payment for our sins, so for his sake, God forgives that debt that we can't ever repay. And that's what the cross is all about. That's what this season of the empty tomb is all about. Jesus is pretty clear here that we need to show our brother mercy as he has shown us. And we don't really show the same amount of mercy. It is not an even swap. He's just asking us to show a portion of the forgiveness he has in his heart for each other. He asks us to forgive little because he forgave big. Now, if you're like me at all, when you're praying the Lord's Prayer, sometimes you just mindlessly rattle through the words. And I'm ashamed to say I do that once in a while. But we're going to pray that later, and should we focus on that one part? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Now, I have used an illustration in this message involving dollars and cents because that's what the parable uses. Now, I know you've done Christ in the Culture programs here at Trinity. And one of them, if you've not read or seen the film, I think involved The Shack. And if anybody is familiar with that story, there is a scene in there where Mackenzie, Mac, the main character, is having a conversation with God the Father. Remember, I just talked about forgiving a debt of money owed. Mac is having a conversation with God the Father, and Mac's child, his small daughter, had just been murdered. And God asks him in the story to, you guessed it, forgive the man who murdered his child. See, the spirit and the heart of forgiveness can only come by the power of God. So we should, when we pray that, we should really be thinking about wanting to forgive our brothers and sisters. It is not an easy thing to do. Well, my dad, who I mentioned earlier, came to let those debts go. And by this, I mean he didn't harbor any ill will over not getting his money back. It was a struggle. He complained. He was angry. But God eased his heart and gave him a spirit of forgiveness. He said the Lord had given to him, and that if he asked God to forgive him, then he better darn well forgive the brothers and sisters that had wronged him. And I think we all, like my dad, have found ourselves in situations where we thought we had the right to be angry, the right to hold on to a grudge. But we don't. God has had great mercy on us, and he asks us to show small mercy to our brothers and sisters who have wronged us. The heart of the Lord is great mercy, is forgiveness. And may a small portion of that be our heart as well. In Jesus' name, amen.